Now, I want to speak to Martin McMullen, who's with the Mourne Mountain Rescue Team, these guys who do excellent work, and great work was done over the weekend as well. Martin, good morning.
Good morning.
Now, a walker was injured and had to be airlifted to hospital. He's near the top of Donard over the weekend. When exactly was this, Martin?
It was Saturday evening, Frank, when we got the call just short after 5 p.m.
So you get a call at 5 p.m. My immediate thought is, if you don't mind me saying it, I hope the injured gentleman doesn't mind me saying it either. 5 p.m.'s almost dark, and him and his party are at the top of Donard. Was that an error to begin with?
No, it wasn't. I think that what they'd planned, you're right, was darkness was closing in. But what they had planned to do was to be up there for sunset or just prior to sunset and then head down. So if everything had went according to plan, they would have been back down into Donard Forest prior to darkness. So, yeah, that, and it's not uncommon for people to finish a day off in darkness off the mountains.
So that isn't taking a risk, walking off Slieve Donard in the dark?
No. It's very, very common, especially in the winter months when daylight is less. People will quite often plan to finish in the dark and go appropriately equipped and so on to do so.
So they would have a headlight or something or torches with them?
Absolutely.
Right, so what happened then? What happened to this unfortunate person?
Shortly after they started to descend off Donard, he took a fall and landed on his back and was in immense pain and unable to move. And the other members of the party did the correct thing. They did a quick assessment of him. They realised how potentially serious it was, and they dialed 999 and asked for mountain rescue.
And where did you take the helicopter to? Do you go up and take him down, or do you land the helicopter very high up the mountain? How does that work?
Well, and there's a variety of different ways. It depends on the individual circumstances of each incident. We were able to get vehicles so far up a track and then go on foot. So we're pretty much climbing Slieve Donard with the equipment to get to the casualty and to stabilise the casualty. And then once we had the casualty stabilised and packaged, the aircraft came in and winched the casualty from site. So they would put a winch man down and then airlift the casualty out. So winch the casualty up and take them directly to hospital.
And this is a Coast Guard helicopter that comes across from Scotland to do this?
Yeah, there's Coast Guard aircraft around Ireland and all around the UK. And on Saturday, when we put in the request, it's looked at to see what aircraft is available at that specific time, and the aircraft that was able to assist us was the aircraft from Prestwick in Scotland.
Now, this is an expensive undertaking. I see a lot of people on social media saying that money shouldn't be wasted like this and people should be more forward-thinking, go up in daylight and come down in daylight. But you've explained right at the very beginning of this chat that it's common for people to return from the mountain in the dark with the proper clothing, with the proper lighting and whatever. And I understand exactly what you were saying. But having seen what you saw last night, would you be recommending that people maybe try and do it in daylight? You're going up there into packed snow and ice, aren't you?
Well, you are. And to be honest, the daylight doesn't, you know, if you're proper head torches and so on, the daylight doesn't really make much of a difference. And to be honest, it wasn't actually a factor on this incident on Saturday. You know, we've got to bear that in mind, that it wasn't a factor. The reason that we were dealing with it in the dark was because, you know, time just passes, sun goes down and we're into darkness. And that's not uncommon, even in the summer months, that, you know, something happens during daylight and we're still working on the rescue come darkness, you know, and we go appropriately equipped to deal with that. So, you know, that us working in the dark isn't really a big issue for us. It is it's a bit more challenging, certainly for an aircraft, for the helicopter. And we were fortunate on Saturday evening. The conditions up there were very, very calm, even though it was in minus temperatures. There was no wind, and the visibility was very, very good. So we're lucky we had that little window before the weather did deteriorate subsequently.
And these people were experienced walkers. They had the right gear, they had the right lights, they had a knowledge of the mountain. They weren't just people who casually had gone up from Newcastle in the afternoon.
No, they planned to go up Slieve Donard. And to be fair to them, they probably didn't. They were equipped for what they were anticipating, but they didn't anticipate this to happen. And I think that's one of the points that we would like to get across to people, is that, you know, when you're going into the mountains at any time of the year, and in particular in winter, the conditions do change as you climb. So the temperature drops. That's going to have an impact on the conditions underfoot on the terrain. So you will have the development of ice, etc., slippy conditions. And then also the weather becomes a little bit more volatile, so it can change much quicker, higher up, stronger winds, showers, etc. So do anticipate that it is going to be worse. Be mindful of that. But also to think through that a lot of people who go into the mountains prepared for their walk and back down and out and into Newcastle or home by 4 p.m. or 5 p.m., whatever it might be. But think through that if something does happen, you're in a totally different set of circumstances. Then if something does happen and you're unable to move and you're unable to get down as planned, do you have the appropriate level of clothing to insulate yourself, to provide shelter? Do you have enough food? Do you have enough resources with you? And can you sustain yourself for the period of time that it takes for a rescue team to get to you? On Saturday, I think it was just under 2 hours it took us to get to the casualty site from the point that the accident happened. So you need to be sure that you're able to look after yourself for that period of time. And you also need to take into consideration that's communication as well. That's easy if you can make a quick 999 call on a mobile phone. That's not always possible as well. So having a plan that even if you don't return, somebody knows where you've gone to. They know what time to expect you back, and if you don't return, they know what to do and how to get help.
Yeah, it is very, very good advice, and a speedy recovery we wish to the young gentleman involved who's got suspected spinal and pelvic injuries and had been suffering from mild hypothermia as well. Martin, it's a reminder of the excellent work, I don't mean to be patronising here, but the excellent work that you guys do, whether with the Mountain Rescue or the Coast Guard, there's some great work done that sometimes we never hear of.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Thanks very much, Frank. And, you know, at the end of the day, we're just underpinning what is, you know, we have to emphasise that it's a great activity, you know, for people to get out there. At this time of the year, the mountains are absolutely stunning. And it would be fantastic if everybody can experience that, but we want them to do it safely and, you know, to have a positive experience.
Absolutely. Yeah, totally, totally. Let's not put people off enjoying the mountains. That has to be emphasised.
Absolutely.
Has to be emphasised.
Absolutely.
Martin, thank you.
No problem, Frank. Thanks very much.
Martin McMullen with the Mourne Mountain Rescue Team. Now, let me speak to a man who knows a bit about these things, because our producer, Ricky, is practically never out of the mountains. You would go every weekend up Donard, almost every weekend?
Yeah, pretty much almost every weekend. I would have been up on Saturday. I do know the group that was involved. I may well have been up with them, actually, if I hadn't had other commitments. I just happened to be doing something else that day. So, yeah, I'm up pretty frequently.
Yes, strangely, I didn't realise you were thinking of going last weekend. Never got a chance to talk to you about that last week. But the interesting thing would be that I might sometime go up Donard with you, but I feel that I wouldn't have the ability to go up at the pace that you would go up at. So I was talking to Jamie DeLargy, about going up Donard last Saturday. And we were going to go up. In the end, we went to the Giant's Ring. We didn't go up Donard at all.
You chickened out.
Well, I did, because we both thought that the mountain would be too slippery and cold and snowy. Maybe slippery was the wrong word, considering a guy fell. That didn't cross our mind. But we thought it'd be too snowy and cold for two more mature gentlemen to be doing it for the first time in a number of years. First of all, how difficult is it this time of year to do from Donard Park to the top of Donard?
It's tough enough, I suppose. You know, almost anybody with a basic level of fitness can do Donard. It might take a bit of time and might have to stop and take a few breaks. So that's in general. If it's snowy and icy, obviously it can be a bit more difficult. If you're not used to going into the Mournes generally, then maybe when it's snowy and icy, maybe wait until it is. There are clearer conditions and it might be a bit safer. But I'd say generally, you know, if it's snowy and icy, you just have to be a little bit more careful. You can go up. You can still go up and enjoy it. Just be a bit more careful. To be honest, I've slipped more times in the Mournes in dry weather than I have in snow and ice. So it really is just about being careful underfoot.
Now, you know, as a hill walker, I see some of the stuff that you post on social media, and you've got all the gear and you go up and you come down, and you tend to be able to do it without it taking the whole day. Again, that's down down to fitness. I think for most people going to Slieve Donard, they have to set a day aside for travel to it, go up it, come down, recover, get a pint, come home, and you're knackered. But for those people who may not have done it for X number of years, and they're thinking about it next Saturday, talk me through the plan for it.
The plan, right. Well, just set out. You decide where you're going to start out from, where you're going to finish. If those are the same places, then that's easy enough. Some people like to walk from one place to the other. You can use two cars and leave one at one place, one at the other, and then go from one spot to go from A to B.
Well, let me take you back to Slieve Donard Car right. Park. That's the only one that I can think of at this moment. I've parked safely in Slieve Donard Car Park, and I want to go to the top of Donard. Mm-hmm. Me, Jamie. You know, me, early 50s, Jamie, early 60s, right? So how long would it take us to get from the car park to the top of Donard?
From the car park to the top, I would guess probably around 2 hours. I think it would take experienced people, maybe can do it in about an hour and a half or less. So I'd say for first-timers, seasoned gentlemen like yourself, would take about 2 hours, yeah.
At what point going up next Saturday will I encounter some snow? Because even though the snow's all melting around us here, there'll be snow at some point going up Donard. Where will the hazards be on that route?
Well, you can get sort of the way it was at the weekend there might still be. It's pretty icy and snowy pretty far down, even at the tree line, I think. So you might get it quite early as you come out of the forest. Generally, it would be once you've reached the saddle, that bit between Donard and Commodore, it has the wall and the stile over the wall. That's when it tends to be getting really snowy and icy. And some of the snow drifts are 8 or 9 feet high that cover the Mourne Wall. So you do need to be wary. But if you need to, you just make sure you're wearing good footwear. Have you got a good, strong pair of sturdy hiking boots?
Right, so you need good boots, you need waterproof trousers, you need a very warm, fleecy jacket, you need a few layers on. Do you need any headgear, or do you just need a cap?
Woolly hat. Definitely need a woolly hat. Scarf, gloves, good jacket, waterproof, as you say, jumper, fleece, maybe a spare jumper as well, just in case you do get caught out. Good socks, waterproof trousers, windproof. And other good things, I suppose. You should always have a bivy bag, which is this big orange bag, essentially, that you get into if you do get into difficulty, if you find yourself stuck. And those foil blankets that you see people getting wrapped in as well, they're only a couple of quid in one of the sort of outdoor shops. So you should always have that sort of thing with you, maybe even a compass if you don't know your way. And a spare, you can buy these portable phone chargers as well, because phones sometimes don't do very well in the cold air up there. My phone can conk out just randomly just because of the cold, so a spare phone charger is a good idea as well.
And these lads who were up on Saturday who had the misadventure, mm-hmm. they are seasoned climbers or walkers in the hills. They knew exactly what to do. Someone going up who falls and hurts their back on a sharp stone, the next move can panic people, can't it? They did the right thing by ringing 999. They were able to get through. It took 2 hours, you know, for the mountain rescue boys making all their efforts to get up to them. How do you overcome that sort of panic, the fear, the cold, the annoyance, the being, you know, if you stop for 10 minutes on the side of a mountain, you're going to get bitterly cold. As you say, if you haven't got the fleece or you haven't got the reflective wrapping or whatever that is you're talking about, the aluminium foil that, you know, I know the thing you're talking about that they use, mm-hmm. they use at marathons and whatever.
Yeah.
So if you haven't got that in your bag, how quickly are you going to feel absolutely baltic?
It would be very quick, to be honest. I've been up, I was up just a couple of weeks ago, and the wind was so powerful that it just cuts through you. The wind chill factor is severe. And if it is windy, then you're going to be in even more difficulty. It would honestly take minutes before you were starting to feel in danger. And, you know, your hands will stop working. Basically, you'll seize up and you can be lying there and, you really will start the panic. The important thing, obviously, is to stay calm and make sure that you just, if you are able to ring for help or call for help and get yourself sorted, just keep yourself warm, as many layers as possible. And if you have a flask of tea or soup or something with you, that's obviously a good idea as well.
Beginning to sound like you need a donkey with you. You're now starting to carry a brave amount of stuff up that mountain.
Well, yeah, I carry full rucksack full of stuff. Now, it is heavy. It almost feels like you're carrying a child on your back, but it's worth it. You know, you just need to be prepared. Some people go up, you see people just running up the mountain. People do run up and down all the time, and they just have a bottle of water with them, a small bottle of water, and just if something does go wrong, especially if you're running, the chances of slipping or tripping and going over your ankle are a lot higher. So people don't really go up as prepared as they should. So just pack a bag full of everything you need. Keep a list of what you need as well. Make sure you don't forget anything and just go out and enjoy it.
Thank you. Thank you. You can see I'm worried because I'm going to probably do it and have, you know, responsibility for an elderly gentleman. So I don't want to take any risks. Thank you. Barbara's got a point. Good morning, Barbara.
Hello. You said there was a suggestion, should I say, that you were a chicken for going down to the Giant's Ring instead of up Donegal in the snow.
There was earlier in the programme, Barbara.
Anybody that is getting older and not bouncing as well as they used to are ready idiots if they go up a mountain in snow and ice, and so is anybody. The body snatchers have more things to do than to go out at weekends and rescue idiots.
Well, Barbara, that's pretty heavy on the poor people who were up Donard on Saturday. They were well equipped.
I'm not talking about those that are well equipped and all that sort of thing. I'm talking about the suggestion that it was not more sensible for you to go to somewhere like the Giant's Ring or anywhere around, not up in snow and ice.
Yeah, it's a fair point, because if you are younger and fitter and you've got all the gear and you're an accomplished mountain walker,
that's exactly,
going up Donard is no big deal. And okay, the guy who did slip and fall was indeed the sort of person who was suitable for that description that I've just given. He was competent, he was well equipped, but he still fell. And it's interesting that anyone can fall. But what you're saying, Barbara, is the point I made earlier in the programme, that myself and Jamie DeLargy, and Jamie is a man well into his 60s, that myself and Jamie were going to go walking in the mountains. In the end, we decided we'd walk to the Giant's Ring instead. It seemed like a much more comfortable walk than going up Donard. But do you think the likes of DeLargy and myself should go up Donard in the near future?
No. Well, look, to get the information on what the situation's like there. I was in a walking club and taking a walk up Donard, and I called up the mountain rescue people down in down there in the Mourns and asked what was the height of the cloud. And I was told that it was very low. It was just above the Hare's Gap, at which point I decided we were going to go down along the coast.
Yeah, but you obviously have your head screwed on. You're into walking. You know the dangers. Jimmy DeLargy's a very fit man for his 60s, but is the saddle and the upper reaches of Donard any place for a man in his 60s?
Not really. It's no place for people unless you've got crampons and ice. I don't know if you ever listened to the Blame Game, but the other day they were on about this pavements not being salted. Mm-hmm. And they called it OAP Skittles.
Barbara, that's not fair. That's typical Big Tim, you know what I mean?
Actually, it was Jay Cocaine, but that's beside the point. I thought it was very good. No, when I was a student, we went body snatching to give the people in North Wales time off. In actual fact, that weekend they were going to Chris Bonington talking about the ascent of the Eiger, the north face of the Eiger. I'm sure that's where they were. And we went up to spell them, you know, give them a chance.
So you call it body snatching. You were in search and rescue.
Body snatchers. Because you went up after the bodies.
Yeah, so, like, you obviously know what you're talking about. And
yeah.
I reckon young Ricky, who's the producer of the programme, who goes up Donard certainly once a fortnight, also knows what he's talking about, but he's a lad of 27 years of age. You're probably of slightly more mature years.
I'm 71.
Yeah, sorry?
I'm 71.
Well, you're 71. You know what you're talking about.
Yes.
Yeah, you know what you're talking about. So your advice to, particularly to Jamie DeLargy, is stay off Donard.
Stay off Donard in ice. Stay off pretty anywhere in ice unless you're, you know, you've got the ice equipment.
Yeah, okay. I'm going to
anybody can bounce on ice. Ask anybody around here nowadays.
Barbara, I'm gonna take this on board because you've been with Search and Rescue. You're obviously a seasoned walker, and maybe I should wait until the spring before introducing my elderly friend Jamie to the higher reaches of Slieve Donard. I know he'll be laughing if he's listening because he's a far fitter man than me. Barbara, thank you.
There's just one more thing, very short. Take a stick.
Yeah.
A walking stick is always a good idea. Mother used to call it her third leg.
Yeah, I agree with you. You know, when I'm walking at the best of times, even in the mountains and the hills, the Belfast hills, I'd have a bit of a stick with me too. Barbara, thank you. Words of wisdom. Seriously, words of wisdom. Thank you. Thank you very much. I think Brian has a point he wants to make. Morning, Brian.
Good morning, Frank.
Yes, Brian.
Frank, I was last in the Moor Mountains there on New Year's Day this year. I was up to Slieve Donard very early in the morning as part of a walking crowd. But on the way up through Donard Forest and beyond that, it's a terrible state. So much rain we've had the last 6-7 months in the mountains. The mountains are absolutely saturated in water. And my advice is that for people to get to the mountain for a mist, better stick to the main path.
Yeah, but how far up would the main path take you? Remember, the last time I was at the top of Donard, I was 17. So steer me up. Can you use the main path the whole way to the top?
You have to go through the Donard Forest and cross over something like 3 bridges. Or else follow the main, there's a main gravel path that winds its way around the forest. It's a lot longer, but safer.
Yeah, I'm sure quite a few people probably do that, especially in more inclement weather. Brian, what I've discovered this morning is a lot of people listening to this programme have the same interest I have, which is hill walking, and I do it at much lower level, Belfast Hills, Donegal and whatever. I do Errigal from time to time, but I haven't done Slieve Donard since I was a teenager. The idea of doing it appealed to me, and I was going to do it on Saturday past. In the end, we changed our mind almost at the last minute and decided not to go. Then it gets in the headlines because someone had to be rescued off it over the mountain. You reckon people shouldn't really be going up it maybe until the springtime?
My advice is to use wisdom, because I was coming down the mountain there and in the Donard Forest on New Year's Day, and I nearly slipped and fell. So much water going over even rocky areas. It's a real mess in mountains. Not just that, people leave their litter land, not just in the winter time, but in the summertime especially. I've even mentioned this to Donard Forest, the council there. Many years ago, in the summertime, people go up there and park their cars in the upper car park. They leave their litter land, their barbecue sets land. No one seems to care. There's a lack of litter bins, and the bins aren't being emptied frequently enough.
Yeah, well, that's typical Northern Ireland, unfortunately. I know there are people doing some great work to try and improve the image of the place, but the mindset, and many times have I touched on that, the mindset of the Ulster public is let gravity take care of the litter. Sadly, and I wasn't aware that it's also a problem up Donard, but... So there you go. You're not surprised at all, Brian. But thank you. You raise some very good points.